When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, 15th chapter, and going into the end of the 15th chapter and going into the 16th chapter. Hear the word of God. "When the Advocate comes, whom I, Jesus, will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, it is to your truth. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I like to sleep, and maybe you do too. And when I sleep, if I'm lucky, I dream. And I'm told that the most sound sleeps are the ones in which you don't remember your dreams. So it may say something that there are dreams that I remember, certain recurring dreams. There are a few of these dreams that come up in my sleeping very often. There's a dream about driving all over, I think it's the central U.S., like Tennessee and Kentucky and maybe into Indiana. And it takes, for some reason, only a few minutes to travel these great distances, and there's never any traffic. That's a good dream. There's a dream about flying from one country to another. I'm not sure which countries, and trying to get off this very large, very tall airplane with chutes and elevators and narrow passageways and staircases. No, I don't get it either. There's a dream about, and I've told you about this one, the dream about needing to finish a particular course in order to graduate, and yet I keep on forgetting to attend the class. And then there's the dream that likewise has me in school. I told you about this one a long time ago. I go to class one day, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, I find my desk in the classroom and take my seat, and then I engage in friendly banter with my classmates. And then one of my friends says, "So, are you ready for the test?" Test? And I think that might be where the dream ends. That's when the dream becomes a nightmare, or at least a bad dream, or maybe a nocturnal working out of deep-seated feelings of failure and of being perpetually ill-prepared, which means, of course, that my dreams, and probably yours as well, often have their origin in real-life experience. For me, it's often that experience of not feeling ready. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, after he had risen from the dead and had blessed them for all those days, those 40 days, and he's about to leave them, they did not feel ready. Not one bit. Because when Jesus left his disciples, he didn't leave them with an encyclopedia. He didn't leave them with his library full of books with his notes written in the margins. He didn't leave them his journals and diaries. He didn't leave them with Google or Facebook or Twitter. He didn't leave them with computers or calculators or even an abacus. Seriously now, he didn't leave them with all the answers. And so they weren't ready for him to go. There was so much more Jesus could have told them. There was so much more they wanted to hear from him. But he knew they weren't ready. In some ways, they weren't ready I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The disciples, in one sense, they weren't ready, but they would be made ready. Jesus was not leaving them on their own. He was leaving them with the Spirit, and the Spirit would lead them. They would be Spirit-led. I come across that phrase now and then, maybe you have too, Spirit-led. Some churches see themselves and describe themselves as Spirit-led. Some congregations want their pastors to be Spirit-led, and they seek to hire such pastors. Some people are attracted to churches because they find them to be Spirit-led, and they leave churches when they sense an insufficient level of Spirit-ledness. Some pastors are hired based on how Spirit-led they seem to be. Similar judgments also lead some pastors to be fired. I'm not sure I have ever read or heard a clear statement of what Spirit-led means to such people. I suspect I would not agree with their answer. Jesus left the disciples, and he left them with the Spirit, who would lead them. So once the Spirit came, they were Spirit-led. This was so needed, because the disciples didn't have all the answers. How could they? Many of the questions had not even been asked. Of course, the disciples were often not the sharpest knives in the drawer. We see this a lot in the Gospels. Jesus would clearly show them who he was. Again and again, he would show them. Over and over and over again, he would demonstrate to them who he was, what he meant, and what he required of them as his disciples, but they still wouldn't get it. The disciples weren't ready. Not really. By any normal assessment, they were not ready. But Jesus would send the Spirit, and the Spirit would lead them. But where would the Spirit lead them? To some place? From some place? Up, down, over, out? Jesus tells them that the Spirit would lead them into the truth. But what does that mean? What did Jesus mean by the truth? Did he mean correct answers to some test? Did he mean some philosophy, some ideology, some system of right and wrong? Did he mean some conceptual rather than physical destination? No, what he meant by the truth was himself. The Spirit would lead the disciples into the truth. And by truth, Jesus meant himself. The Spirit would lead them to the truth about Jesus, who he is, what he means. The Spirit would lead them into the truth, into a greater understanding of who Jesus was, why he came, what he does. The Spirit would lead them into the truth. The Spirit would lead them into an understanding of all those things that they should have known before, but then at that time they did not catch on. They would now. With the giving of the Spirit, they would then be ready, made ready, not because of themselves, but because of the Spirit. Now, speaking of the Holy Spirit is no small thing. After all, the Holy Spirit is the very movement of God. The Holy Spirit is uncontrollable. The Holy Spirit is unpredictable. The Holy Spirit confounds our expectations. The Holy Spirit disrupts our definitions of normal. Many forget that, or ignore that, or deny that. So it is that many have spoken ill of the Spirit. They have hijacked the reputation of the Spirit to justify their own actions. They have misrepresented the Holy Spirit to support their own programs. The Holy Spirit has often been mocked, not openly, of course, but by being used to support, as support for the weird and the wacky, the partisan and the political, the selfish and the short-sighted. But that can't be what Jesus means. Jesus says that the Spirit will not speak on his own. Jesus says that the Spirit will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit, the very wisdom of God, this Spirit was with God before the dawn of creation. This Spirit empowered Jesus' ministry. And this Spirit will lead us into the truth about Jesus, to Jesus himself, to what has always been true, to the fundamental realities. But this leading is ongoing, and we need it. We need it so much, because none of us is complete. None of us has arrived. None of us can claim, oh, I understand it all. All of us need the Spirit to be leading us to that truth again and again. For we forget, we stumble, we willingly close our ears to God's call. Sometimes it's as if we just want to be left alone. You ever feel that way? We want to be left alone so we can shut the Spirit outside for a while, so we can sin in peace, or so we think. For numerous reasons, we are always in need of the Spirit's direction, leading us into Christ's future, firmly grounded in Christ's past. Because the Christian life is the Spirit-led life, in which we are led into the truth about Jesus, the truth that he forgives the sinner, the truth that he heals the sick, the truth that he raises the dead. This is the truth into which the Spirit leads us. And you know something? We are the sinners who need forgiveness, the sick who need healing, the dead who must be raised. This is the truth into which the Spirit leads us. And in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, we are also the sinners who are forgiven, the sick who are healed, those who were dead but are now alive. This is the truth into which the Spirit leads us. There's more. Of course there is. You see, if being Spirit-led means being led into the truth about Jesus, then it means that we are being led to the truth about ourselves. Because what we see in Jesus is what we are supposed to be. The Spirit will guide us into understanding Jesus, in whom we may understand ourselves. That's right. Jesus shows us what it is like to be truly human. Hand in hand with his being truly God is his being truly human. In Jesus, we see true humanity. Some Christians are uncomfortable with this. I think it's because they are embarrassed by their own humanity, embarrassed by their bodies, embarrassed by their creaturely limitations. I believe that the Spirit-led life is a life that sees our bodies not as a curse, but as a gift. Not as prisons, but as open spaces of freedom. Not as chains, but as instruments that sing out the glory of God. Because to be Spirit-led is to be led into the truth of Jesus, who is God incarnate, who condescended to us embodied creatures, who raised up and exalted the embodiment we all share. The Spirit leads us into the truth of Jesus in his humanity. And as we are Spirit-led into this truth, we can find this uncomfortable, because Jesus highlights how we have not lived up to his example. In his light, the Spirit highlights the sad reality of our pettiness and bigotry and meanness and short-sightedness, our passivity in the face of injustice, our silence in the face of slander, whether whispered, shouted, or tweeted, our inaction in the face of cruelty, our fear in the face of death, our embarrassment in the face of unbelief. In the light of Jesus and compared to the holy demonstration of true humanity that he gives us, the Spirit leads us into uncomfortable truths about ourselves. But the leading of the Spirit also shows us the Christ-like possibilities before us, the ways we can live out our human nature that bring glory to Christ and fulfill the promise of creation. This is the promise and the potential and the gift and the task of being Spirit-led. People of God, Spirit-led, we can love the enemy. Spirit-led, we can welcome the stranger. Spirit-led, we can care for the wanderer, the sojourner, the immigrant. Spirit-led, we can feed the hungry. Spirit-led, we can bless those who curse us. Spirit-led, we can reconcile the estranged. Spirit-led, we can declare the good news of Jesus to those who have not heard it. Spirit-led, we can do all this. Spirit-led, we must. Will we? Let us pray. Spirit of Christ, sent by the Son, proceeding eternally from the Father, in holy union, the loving of Father and Son eternally with each other, we praise you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of Christ, loosen our lips, open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our hands. Spirit of Christ, guide us into the truth. Amen. Let us sing together.